Okay, would you turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 11? Hebrews chapter 11 is way in the back of the Bible. Way in the back of the Bible. All right, let's start. 19th century Swedish chemist and inventor Alfred Nobel made his fortune manufacturing explosives. When his father, who was also named as Alfred, died, an obituary mistaking father for son and stated that he was a rich industrialist who made his fortune in war. When Nobel saw his own obituary in the newspaper and he wondered, is this my legacy? It shocked him a great deal, so that he decided from that day on, he set apart his wealth, the 31 million Swedish krona, which is translated today's currency in about $256 million. He set apart that money for the prize for peace, science, medicine, and literature. According to dictionary.com, which I use often, it defines legacy in this way. Anything handed down from the past as from the ancestor to predecessor. Men, husband, and fathers tend to think about their legacy at the later part of their lives. Until then, they're generally busy providing things for their families, providing things so that they can make a comfortable living. When they have a little breathing time, they tend to think about what kinds of legacy am I going to leave for my family and for my friends. They think about that. You may think about it by now, or if you haven't, probably you will. So what is your legacy? You know, in my opinion, I believe that I am right on this. The most important legacy you can hand down to your children and their children is not fame or riches. Rather, the faith in Jesus Christ that runs through your future generations. The eternal riches in heaven. Past 2 Sundays, we've been studying the patriarch of the Israel, Abraham. And this morning, we are going to learn more about that patriarch, their faith in God that was passed down from his descendant to Isaac, their descendant Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. What a gift Abraham gave to his descendant. He couldn't find a better treasure than that. Let's stop here and pray. Father, today is a Father's Day, and we honor you who gave us life. Not physical life only, to many of us, to born-again Christian, the spiritual life through Jesus Christ. So happy Father's Day. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart. And Father, we are asking you to anoint our heart and our spiritual ears to hear what you said, what you say in your word, your commandment. That we may understand how we can pass our faith in Jesus Christ to the next generation. Someone wise said, Christianity is only one generation away from its extinction. Because many times parents do not pass that rich heritage, eternal heritage to their next generation. Let not be in our case. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart. Let the Holy Spirit teach us. Father, we also pray for President Obama, that he may understand the meaning of salvation. He may say who he claimed to be as a Christian, but he is not. because he does not have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Father, you speak to him so that he may come to know Christ. And we also pray for our troops and our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. You protect them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 20 of chapter 11, please. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. What concerning things? To understand this verse, we need to go to Genesis chapter 25. Keep your finger in Hebrews and go to the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 25, please. Verse 21. Now Isaac pleaded with the Lord for his wife because she was barren, that is, his wife Rebekah. And the Lord granted his plea, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. But the children struggled together within her. She said, "If all is well, why am I like this?" So she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two people shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger." So when her days were fulfilled for her to give birth, indeed there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red. He was like a hairy garment all over. And so they called his name Esau. Afterward, his brother came out. His hand took hold of Esau's heel. So his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. Whenever I try to imagine the appearance of these two twins, I cannot help myself to think these people. One totally sissy-looking Leonardo DiCaprio, and the other guy, man's man Tom Selleck, Esau and Jacob, mama's boy and man's man, the outdoor man. Regardless of their appearances, God chose Jacob over Esau in his infinite wisdom, younger one. In Eastern culture, Middle East and the Far East, always the oldest one get the double portion of the heritage. But as these boys grew up, their mom and dad, Rebekah and Isaac, start to play their favorites. Rebekah for Jacob and Isaac for Esau. Let's stop here. Mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, listen to me, please. Unless you want the turmoil in your family, please do not play favorites among your children and grandchildren. Just because one kid is getting along well with you, that doesn't mean you should show the favorite to that person. This time, let's go to chapter 27 of Genesis. 27, Genesis 20, verse 25. So what happened? In chapter 27, we'll find out. He, that is Isaac, said, "Bring it near to me." Isaac asked Esau to go out, get the wild game, so he can prepare the food that he likes to eat. In the meanwhile, Rebekah, his mother, told Jacob, "I will cook something for your dad just like the way he wants, and you put all this goat hair on yourself and pretend that you are Esau so you can get a blessing from your father. This is the sin. Bring it near to me." Father Isaac is physically blind at this time, so he cannot see well. "I will eat of my son's game so that my soul may bless you." So he, that is at this time is Jacob, brought it near to him, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come near now and kiss me, my son." And he came near and kissed him. And he smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, "Surely the smell of my son is like the smell of field, which is the Lord has blessed." I don't know that's a compliment. You smell like earth. Okay, Daddy. Since the parents were playing their favorites, Isaac wanted to bless Esau over Jacob, who was designated by God. And Isaac is doing, he's trying to circumvent God's will. But the Lord used conjure of the Rebekah and Isaac to get his will. So Jacob was put in front of Isaac and he was blessed. Listen to me please. There are millions of people who know that Jesus Christ is the Savior and Lord and God. But they want their way over Him. They think that they can do whatever they want to do by circumventing God's will. You cannot fight against God and think that you are going to win. Did you get that? Don't ever think that you can fight against God and you're going to win. Not happening. Eventually, Isaac submitted himself to the will of God in the rest of chapter 27. Though his physical eyes were blinded and failing, Isaac spiritually could see the Lord chose the younger son, Jacob, and through him a nation would be born, a chosen nation by God would come forth. All this that Jacob learned from his father Isaac, who in turn learned from his father Abraham. That's why Isaac was recorded here in the Hall of Faith in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews with others. Now, let's go to verse 21 of chapter 11 in Hebrews. And we'll read about the faith of Jacob. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped and leaning on the top of his staff. Instead of trusting the Lord, Jacob's mama, Rebekah, chose to deceive her husband to give a blessing to her favorite son, Jacob. And her son, Jacob, agreed to go along with the scheme. The majority portion of Jacob's life, it was not a godly thing. Actually, he was a very carnal person. But when he came across with God, Jesus Christ, we call it Christophany, that is a fancy way of saying Jesus Christ in human form appeared in the Old Testament time. When he was struggling with Jesus Christ and God literally touched his hip socket and take it out of joint. From then on, he surrendered himself. And from then on, he could keep the faith in God. He put his faith in God and believed him. One thing we find here is in chapter 11, verse 21, is that incident. Let's go to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48, verse 5. Joseph brought the two sons to the Jacob, who is dying, and he is giving a blessing. Verse 5. Now, Jacob speaking, now your two sons, he's speaking to Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. So let me put it this way. Including Joseph, that Jacob had 12 sons. Jacob gave a double portion to Joseph, a double portion of blessing to Joseph, because he adopted Manasseh and Ephraim as his own. So if you want to be technically and mathematically correct, Israel had 13 tribes. But whenever Bible is mentioned, it mentioned 12 tribes. What is left out? Tribe of Levites. Because they are considered as a tribe of priestlyhood and priestly tribes, And their portion is God Himself. So they are always left behind and left out. Jacob had to lean on top of the step because his socket was taken out, as I mentioned. He was struggling against God and trying to win God. Remember, I mentioned to you, people who are trying to circumvent God's will, this is what happened. God will do whatever it takes to take the self-reliant strength out of that person. And from then on, Jacob was a changed man. Listen to me, please. If you are a capable person, if you are a well-to-do person like a Jacob, good for you. You didn't get to where you are by your own strength. And you may say, well, I get to where I am with my intelligence, with my capability. Who gave you life? Your heart is beating because of God. You have a lung full of air because of God. The Lord allowed you to be there. Acknowledge Him in your life. And don't be stubborn and continually fighting against the Lord to get your ways. You are not going to win. If you continue to fight against Him, God will take away your self-reliant strength in order to bring you to your senses. If you feel convicted now and you're getting uncomfortable, good for you. God is speaking to you. Listen to Him. Stop fighting against God. Please do not ignore Him and His invitation to surrender yourself to Him. Now let's take a look at the faith of Joseph in verse 22 in back in the Hebrews. Chapter 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made a mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. Many of you already know that this remarkable story of Joseph from Genesis chapter 37. There were a handful of people who were mentioned in the Bible extensively, yet nothing has been said negatively. I'm not saying they were sinless people. They were sinful people, yet nothing was mentioned negatively. They are Daniel, Samuel, and Joseph. After his 10 brothers bound him and sold him to the slave traders because they were jealous of him, and they hated him because the father played favorite of him. So they sold Joseph to the slave traders so that he ended up in Egypt as a slave. He could be bitter against God and discard his faith in God totally. Let's get this straight. Egypt, there was no one he was accountable to. And this is a place no one knows about him. Only people who knew about him is the slave traders. By then, long gone. And Egypt was so carnal, it would make the Las Vegas blush. They are so carnal. And after Joseph became a prime minister, he helped his father and brother's family come join him in Egypt. And their family grew mightily and became up to 2 million people. By faith, he believed that God would one day deliver his people out of Egypt, from the land of Egypt, to the promised land. Now, let's go to the chapter 50 of Genesis. By the way, I didn't set this to talk about this faith that runs through the generation on Father's Day. It was not something I planned it. It just happened to be that way by plan of God. And I thought, wow, you made all these things. Cool. Verse 24 in chapter 50. And Joseph said to his brethren, the one who sold him to slave traders, he's dying, so he said, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Then Joseph took an oath from the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here. So Joseph died, and being the 110 years old, they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. By faith, Joseph believed the message that he heard from his father Jacob, in turn, and from Isaac, in turn, from Abraham. Though Joseph died in Egypt, he was an Israelite by heritage and by faith in Jesus, faith in God. When he died, he did not want to be buried in one of those pagan pyramids. He asked them to put him in the coffin so the coffin can be carried to the promised land. Some Bible scholars believe that Joseph's coffin was never buried in Egypt. So if so, I'm sure that it was a silent witness of Joseph's faith in God, and the Lord would take his people out of Egypt to the promised land in Canaan someday. And probably the mom and dad and children were passing by Joseph's coffin. Probably the children asked, "Daddy, what is this?" And they would say, "This is Joseph's coffin. And someday God is going to take us back to the promised land." Then they would ask, "What is the promised land?" They could explain to them about God's promise. It is fulfilled by Moses in Exodus chapter 13. So go to Exodus chapter 13, please. Verse 19. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had placed the children of Israel under solemn oath, saying, "God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you." Just side note, no extra charge for you guys. Some Christians believe that this is the reason Christians should not be cremated. And they say, well, if you cremate, God cannot put you back together for the resurrection. Really? Is that your idea? God created the entire universe from nothing? You mean God, he cannot put you back together in life, into life on the day of the resurrection? Please don't think about that kind of thing. You're putting God in the little tiny box about the size of you. God is much bigger than that. Let me ask you this question. Do you have a godly father, godly mother? If so, you have the rich heritage that you should treasure. The memory you have of them may not be perfect. Of course, they are not perfect people. But you were influenced by them to carry the faith in Jesus Christ. You have something that majority of people around the world don't have. Or maybe you don't have that kind of godly heritage because your mom and dad were not Christian like mine. No reason for you to feel bad. You can be one. You can start that godly heritage to your children. Speak to your children about Jesus with your love and action. With your love and action. Tell them how Jesus changed your life for the better. Children know if you are pretending. If you do all the bad things and they say, "Well, Jesus Christ changed my life." And they'll say, "Oh yeah, really?" They don't believe. Many of you know this verse from the Book of Proverbs, which is our memory verse. Go there, please. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." What does it mean, train up a child? That means you cannot be a passive parent. "Yes, that is my grandchild." Train up your child, and it requires your life and your time to engage in the children's life. The word "train" does not mean that you toss a few words from time to time and thinking that your child will grow up in the right way. the original Hebrew word is chanak. And it means to dedicate. Did you get that? It means dedicate. You have to spend time with your children. Children will not raise themselves up. And you have to dedicate your life and the time in your children's life and the guidance from the Holy Spirit. You need to stimulate your children's learning appetite with the godliness and your godly example. Listen to me, please. Teaching your children how to read and write is very important. Teaching your children how to have a good manner is important. And teaching them how to do the prayer in the mealtime and the bedtime prayer is important. But more important thing is teaching them about your God, your Savior, Jesus Christ is far more important than anything else. Give them eternal heritage that they can enjoy in heaven. Whether your children is tiny or taller than you are, as long as you are their parents, you still have a chance to make a godly influence to them. You may say, what is the reason we bring our kids to this church Sunday school? Don't they teach Jesus Christ in the Sunday school? Yes, they do. They do a very fine job. But let me ask you this for that question. How many hours do they spend in the Sunday school? About an hour? A week? How many hours? And then let me ask you another question. How many hours do they spend in your home? Who has more influence on them? You. You parents, you grandparents. Here are some tips for you, parents and grandparents. Number one, let your children see you read God's Word and pray every day. Let them see you pray and read Word every day. Can you say it with me, every day? Not once in a blue moon. Not when you're in the jam. Second point, tell your children how you are growing and learning new things from the Bible. Thirdly, pray with your children every day, not just mealtime prayer and bedtime prayer. And you don't need a long drawn-out prayer. It takes about a couple hours. And gravy is having a film on top of your potato. Make it quick, but you pray to God. Begin today. Can you say it with me? Begin today. If your children are no longer under your roof, pray for them daily for God's will. Our faith in Jesus Christ was never meant to remain theoretical. Is intended to be translated into reality. In curriculum of a Christian life, faith is required, not elective. Remember the verse we memorized before? Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. It didn't say it's hard. It said impossible, period. If you don't have a faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are not pleasing Him. Two applications. Number one, your home should be a launching pad for your children's faith in God. Your home should be a launching pad for your children's faith in God. How to do that? Pray and read God's Word every day. Second application, we must develop a contagious confidence in God in our home. We as a parent, we as grandparents, we should develop contagious confidence in God that our children and grandchildren may learn from us. How do we do that? Pray and read the Word of God every day.